Welcome to Flip the Switch on Life podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Marie. I'm an embodiment life coach here to help you live an empowered and soulful life. I guide women towards self-healing to take back their power so that they can start living life by their own rules and embrace their true authenticity. This podcast is your go-to where I will be giving you all the tools and resources to start the process of self-healing, doing the deep inner work, and developing your spiritual wellness. There is so much power in embodying your true self, but we often allow fear and comfortability to control our lives, keep us playing small, and settling for less than we deserve. By learning to rewire your subconscious, you will discover your truest and your highest self. You will learn how to take back control and flip the switch on your life. So thank you so much for listening. Now let's get into the episode. Welcome back to another week. Today's episode is heartful and soul aligned. Today we have a special guest, Aline Ra M, and she is a spiritual guide, coach, healer, and teacher. She guides clients to live purposely from their hearts, fostering a direct, self-sustained connection to the divine within. Aline masterfully blends deep insights about spirituality with practical tips that speak directly to authentic spiritual growth in this modern world. So she offers one-on-one coaching and mentorship, online courses, and advanced in-person healing sessions and workshops. And so today we have the pleasure to talk all things living from your heart's deepest desires and alignment. She shares her experience where she was moving through a lot of challenge in her life, and she literally let everything go and started living more aligned within her heart. She talks about how the surprising reasons why we don't live in joy, how we can start finding more joy, and how to create more courage and bravery in our hearts to do the big scary things that we want to do. So let's get right into the episode. Welcome, Aline, to the podcast. How are you today, this evening?
Thank you for having me, Jessica. I'm doing pretty good. It's been a up and down week, and it's finally going up, up, up. So here I am today. How are you doing today?
I'm good. And you're calling in from Spain, which is amazing. Have you lived there like your whole life? Did you just move there?
I'm actually born and raised in Brazil, but then I was living in Sweden for many years, and I just recently moved here. So I've been a nomad for the past years, trying to find a new home, and I finally found myself happy here. So grounding. It's been a grounding process.
That's so beautiful. I've always wanted to visit Spain, like little quick nugget. Right before the pandemic started in March of 2020, my friend and I booked our flight to Barcelona, and I was so excited, and it was going to be in March, and I think it was like 3 weeks out, and then everything shut down, and I was like,
oh,
that was my first chance to go to Europe. I know. So it's on my heart to go, go to Spain and Italy, and I'm part Sicilian, so I want to go to Sicily too. Nice. Yeah. So anyway, that's a really awesome that you're living there. And so we'll have to maybe chat another time on what that looks like. I'm excited to have you here because a lot of the things that you're delving deeper into is something that I'm constantly speaking on, which is living from our heart center, living through our heart's desire, listening to our heart and not getting so caught up in the head. And I would love to delve deeper into this conversation around struggles and reconnection and why we don't live in joy and how to actually get that mind-heart coherence. But before we get into all of that fun stuff, I would love to have our audience hear more from you. How did you get into this work and what is your background in it? Tell us more.
I started pretty early in life. I joined my first mystery school when I was 14 years old. I could hear voices when I was a child, so I had a natural opening. So that is how I started. I never actually thought I was going to work with it. It has always been just my path, the thing that I did for myself. And when I was younger, I never actually talked to people about it. I was quite self-judgmental in a way, because the things that I went through were kind of crazy to the regular person to talk about. So I would rather just not talk about it. And I had a pretty normal life at the same time. I mean, I went to university, I worked with business development for a long time and just kept my spiritual practices on the side as a private thing. I joined different lineages in my life. Started with Rosicrucian when I was 14, and then Gnosis, and then traditional Tantra with Shivaham Tantra, and then the lineage of King Solomon, which is the main lineage that I work with today. So I've always taken quite seriously the path of initiation. That has been a strong part of what I believe in and what I work with. But it has only been about 7 years ago that I started redirecting myself to work with it, that I started getting the call to actually leave my regular 9-to-5 jobs behind and leave the regular life behind and embrace this and start talking to people about what I went through and what I can do. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And so, Aline, could you share some of the things, if you're open to, what did you move through to get you to this place of actualization? You mentioned initiation, and I have my own definition of initiation in multiple different experiences I've gone through. And I truly believe in a high level, we're all being initiated every day through our challenges, through our struggles. It's up to us to really listen to the call and move forward, no matter how much fear is there. Also, when we're learning a new skill or delving deeper into a new subject, that is an initiation too. And so when you mention a lot of the things that you move through to get you to here, because you mentioned this is a natural gift for you and you've been delving deeper, and now you're like, wow, I actually am working with people and getting paid to have people learn from me. And so was there anything in between that really shaped that destiny for you when you mention a lot of the things that you were moving through to get here?
Yeah. So initiation in mystery schools have a different kind of concept. It's not about simply initiating something, but it is a huge alchemical process that happens in a single second that changes your structure so that you can receive at least 10 times more light from one day to the other. So these lineages are quite a structure in the way that they work with human and solar initiations, which is a huge mystical topic. But I just wanted to touch a bit on that because mystery schools are completely organized based on initiations. And it's not that fast of a process to be prepared to go from one to the other. They take a lot of us. They actually can juggle many things in our lives, so to say. But that's part of the process, right? We have to break a few things and rebuild ourselves. So first, I went through a personal crisis of my own in terms of disconnection. So I had this life where everything looked so nice on paper, like many people have. I had my own apartment. I had a great boyfriend. I had a really good job, but I wasn't happy and I was actually dying inside. Because it was so against my soul, the lifestyle that I was living. And I just had to leave everything behind. I just quit. I just left my hometown. I just left my partnership and I just left for my spiritual journey. I still wasn't working with it. I still did not think at all I was going to work with spirituality. I was thinking at that point I would just start my own business, you know, like my own project. I just knew I couldn't do life the way I was doing, and that I had to go deeper into my spiritual journey. And that started as a 1 year gap that became a 2 year gap that became a 3 year gap. It just kept going and I couldn't understand how things worked, but they just did. Everything just kept working for me to keep going. And I was like, okay, planned myself financially for 6 months, but here we are after 3 years and somehow it just keeps coming. So let's do this.
Aline, I want to pause you there really quick, because I feel like a lot of our listeners and myself included, we've been in that rut where it's like, on paper, I have it all.
Yeah.
And we're still not happy. And so was there a battle between you and your inner self where it was like, why are you not happy, Aline? Like, you have everything, this, that, and the other. And then your heart's like, well, I don't know. Because to me, that is the first component of listening to your heart. And like my story was, I moved across the country to Los Angeles. I got a degree in fashion and marketing. And so I got a really awesome job. Like on paper, like, girl, you're crushing it. However, I was feeling so disconnected from myself. And it was like this challenge of like, which way do I get pulled? So for you, what was it that actually pulled the trigger? Because you said that you got out of a relationship, you left your job to go on your spiritual journey. So was that like a boom, boom, boom? Or did it take some time to like do one after the other?
Well, when I first quit my job, that was the first thing. Like, I just have to get out of the office life. And then I was like, oh, I have to get out of this country. That took a few months, actually. At first, I thought I could figure out everything from home. So it was a quite slow process, which in my personal case, I appreciated because I have always been really fast in everything I do. And for once, things started coming in a completely different speed that I had to accept and embrace and understand that things were needed to shift much more than I thought at first, because I was so unaware of the shifts that had to take place, you know, which is part of the path. You know, we never really know what we're getting ourselves into. We just know the direction, and we need to just trust that first step, not knowing how many steps are after, because truly, if we knew how many steps were after before we began, we wouldn't begin. We would like just freak out. So
That's
it's
very true.
like
I love that. And I think that's so important to highlight because for a lot of the women I work with, it's this inner battle of like, what does come first? Or, oh my gosh, like, where do I start? Do I even start? And for me, I think it like you shared, it's like, you know, having this tenacity and desire to be okay with the parts of you that want more. I think that's really where it starts and starting to see. I don't know about for you, but for me, it was like this determination to be like, I want this. Let something happen to show me it's possible for me. And so I started to see other people live their dream life, my dream life, really. And it really gave me the confidence and the courage to go after the big, scary things. And I feel for a lot of people, they need that encouragement and they need that like proof that like this can happen. Or we get to a place, which maybe this is where you were at, and I've been here a few times myself, where it's just a full rock bottom where it's like, we can't go anywhere, but we got to go a full different direction. And like, I don't know what's going to happen when I make a decision, but I have to make this decision and I have to see where it takes me. Like you said, like, we know the direction, we just don't know what's coming in that direction, how many steps that we're taking.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, clarity is about being able to see the next step, right? Not 1 kilometer ahead. And many times when I hear so many people that work with me are looking for clarity. But then when we start talking, we see that it's not really clarity that we're looking for. We're looking for safety. We're looking for assurance. Because clarity has no safety in it. You can know exactly what you want. It doesn't mean we'll work out. There is no safety in this life, you know? So we are bargaining. We keep bargaining with things. And I understand. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. I mean, we do have a lot of comforts in life. We do need have to let go of many things, and the trade-offs are difficult for many people. I understand that. And it's quite different for me as a single person. And a person who has many kids and a family, you know, like the complexity can change so much situation to situation. But at the same point, we need to be able to trust ourselves. It's very difficult to get anything in this life without trusting ourselves. It's
Wow.
that is what takes us to take that first step, you know.
I just wrote down clarity and safety with like five exclamation points because I want to take a minute to delve deeper into that because you're right. A lot of people come to work with us because they want clarity in their life. They want direction. They want support. They want the craziness in their head to be like, okay, I'm not crazy. This is actually what I want. So how do I do it? So share more with your ideology around you don't need clarity, you need safety.
I mean, you don't need safety, you need clarity. So, in the sense that Well, what is safety, right? The ultimate safety is to be safe within ourselves. We need to be our own safety. If we expect safety from the outside world, we need to be our own rocks. So in that sense, you're right. We need safety. It's just our concept of safety that needs to change, that we need to be able to trust ourselves. It's our trust in ourselves that brings us safety. And the clarity that we need is not that huge clarity. Sometimes we just need to know the direction. Many people that tell me they don't have clarity, they actually do. But because of their fear and their lack of acceptance, it becomes very hard to act on it. So, safety is needed. It's just a different type of safety. It's the
internal
safety.
Yeah. And it's
like I can do it, you know, like I can do it.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, important to highlight here too, because when we're talking all about, like, this whole podcast is all around like hearts, to like listening to your heart, following your heart.
Yeah.
In reconnecting with yourself, there is that sense of trust that needs to happen. And also the internal safety that I didn't even realize back, you know, 5 years ago, that's actually what I was chasing, because, you know, I believe fear will never go away, but how do we walk with fear? Safety. How do we walk with the courage? Safety. And so if we can find that internal safety within ourselves, like you shared, to the capacity of I can do it, even though it feels scary, because I got me, I'm my own rock, that will take you so far. And so, Aline, do you have any tips for people to find more internal safety to walk their path or direction?
It's a lot about showing to ourselves that we can take care of ourselves. It's a process of reparenting. It's almost taking care of the inner child inside of us that is not feeling safe, and being clear with that child within that we don't need mom and dad anymore, because we are grown-ups, and I will take care of myself. And if I need some rest, I'll give that to myself. And if I need to eat well, I would do that to myself. And knowing how to relax, to soothe the nervous system, because when we get scared and we panic, it's the nervous system that starts stopping us.
Yeah.
So being able to relax and to touch ourselves lightly, you know, to shake. There are quite a few different practices we can do to soothe the nervous system. But still, I find the most precious one is this inner work that we can do even in meditation and in visualization of seeing our inner child, meeting the inner child as an adult, and hugging that inner child inside of us and telling that child that it's okay, I'm here. I'm like, there's no more mom and dad. I am mom and dad now, and I will always take care of you. I'll never abandon you. Because those pieces of unsafety in us, they come from long, long in our lives, long back in our childhoods. There are specific accidents that caused us to feel there's nobody there to take care of us. I know quite a few of my own mom, that I had to heal small things. And that really worked for me very well, to be able to visualize myself with 6 years old, myself with 9 years old, and take care of that child and just show her that I am here. I will take care of her. But it's a lot of self-love.
Yeah. Everything that you said, just echoing that back, because how we do find our safety and how we find that internal, like, concept of self is reparenting ourselves from all the things that we didn't really fully receive. And I know the deeper we go within ourselves, the more that we uncover, unlock, unveil, ooh, yeah, I didn't get to receive that when I was younger. So how do I get to give myself that? Because sometimes, truthfully, we will never receive that from our in real moments, in real time, from our parents. So how do we give it to ourselves? And I believe over time, we start to flex that muscle, and we get to retrain our brain, our subconscious, we get to retrain our body to say, it's okay, I got you. And you just put it so delicately, so perfectly, where we get to just say, I'm mom and dad now. And like, what do you need from me? And your subconscious will respond. And it is so beautiful to start healing yourself through yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so much simpler than we think sometimes. It's just, as you said, just being there and showing. Our unconscious mind has to see it exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And so I want to delve deeper into some of these concepts. So first one I want to talk deeper into is reconnection to disconnection, or disconnection to reconnection, I should specifically say. And so you mentioned that there's a big disconnect with ourselves in a world that is so disconnected. And more as technology grows, we are more and more disconnected. Our, you know, our attention spans are shortening up to like 3 seconds now, which is wild.
Oh,
and
wow.
so, yeah, yeah. And so what is your take on helping people reconnect with themselves? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are like sharing, like, I wish I had the courage to go out and live through my heart. I wish I was able to like end this relationship. I wish this, I wish that. Oh, okay. Just come back to reality. And so how do you start listening to that inner whisper and reconnect with yourself?
So when I think about disconnection, a word that always comes to me is starving, is starvation. Mm. We are disconnected because we are starving. We are starving ourselves. Being souls within a body means that we have physical bodies, mental bodies, emotional body, soul, we have spirit. But here we are living too much in our minds. We overstimulate our minds. We overthink all the time. And we overfeed our bodies as well. Like the amount of food that most of us eat is quite more than what we need. We are working a lot on those two bodies, the physical and the mental. But we are starving our hearts. We're starving our souls, and we're starving our spirit. And for me, this is a major issue that creates disconnection, because our disconnection is just that in a way. It is our starvation. And it's about reharmonizing, realigning all these different facets of who we are, giving nourishment to our hearts, giving nourishment to our souls, giving nourishment to our spirit. Now, it might take a little while once we start feeding them for them to actually get stronger enough to balance with something that we have been overfeeding. So the mind right now is extremely overfed, and changing between thinking so much to feeling more, it's something that is very challenging for many people. It takes time. It takes time to be able to handle our amount of feelings and transmuting them, and being more used to being silenced feeling as much as we tend to overthink. So there is a transition point there in this refeeding, in this realignment, this harmonizing. So this for me is one of the most critical points, and one I've been bringing much lately, because we just need to feel more and be more in silence. Meditating more will like nourish our spirit so much, and inspiring ourselves and having joyful laughter. There are so many things that we can do to nurture our hearts, contemplating beauty, you know, seeing beauty and let that beauty penetrate us. You know, it's there are things that are not that tricky to do. It's just because we are living in autopilot in our minds, in our bodies. So we do need to change the gear quite a bit.
Again, love all that you shared. I believe that we are very more into the just doing, keeping busy. I remember this one time, it was very significant, because a client I was working with a couple years ago, she shared with me, and she was like, Jess, if I slow down, I am going to explode. Like, I don't know what is going to happen if I am not busy. And when we started working on her not being busy and being present, it was like all this stuff was coming up. And she's like, I have so much anxiety. And it's like, anxiety is just a messenger that something is off kilter. And so you have to listen to that. And so I know for a lot of us, like, I think in a general, I can generalize the statement that for a lot of people, feeling is scary, because they haven't been taught I was never taught what to do with my emotions. I mean, my mom will still say to this day, well, good thing you didn't cry about it. And I'm like, why not? Why can't I cry? So it's like this really deep generational pattern where it's like we are not allowed to feel. Even back at that time, I remember my mom would even share too. She's like, therapy was not a thing. Like, you went to therapy, you were weak. And it's just, I believe we're still like deconditioning from that. So when you're sharing and just like validating, we need to start feeling more. To me, that is so valid, because how do we start to live through our heart? How do we start actually, you know, all those people listening saying, I wish, I wish, I wish. And in that, oh, I wish I had more courage. I wish I had more bravery to do the thing that my heart is longing for. Starting to build that relationship just by even doing things that, like you said, finding beauty in things and allowing it to penetrate you and really asking your heart, like, I think sometimes playfulness can be, like you shared, laughter can be really helpful medicine for your heart, and just starting to dip your toe more into what it feels like to start listening to your heart before getting into like the bigger, more monumental changes.
Yeah. And I mean, I completely agree that for so many people, the feeling part is so difficult. And energetically speaking, feeling is a higher voltage type of energy than thinking. So you need to be able to circulate energy faster and better to deal with feeling in general. You need like a stronger vessel to be able to do that. And many of our vessels have not been trained for that. And I mean, this can be in a very daily situation, like a regular person feeling versus thinking will already experience that it would be like a lot of energy flowing. And sometimes we don't know what to do with that. But also that when we work hardcore spiritual growth, that is also true, because more energy start coming through you, you feel a lot, you're feeling all the time. You also need to be able to circulate that is really high voltage. When we do rituals, when we work with magic, is pure ecstasy kind of energy. We need to be strong to handle that type of energy, which means working a lot again with our nervous system. Our nervous system is extremely crucial to be able to handle that and not panic. And when we are speaking, like you're saying, like your clients, that's so much anxiety, sometimes it, as you're mentioning, it brings like this negative feelings, the hardcore emotions.
Yeah.
But it can also be tricky to handle a lot of positive energy. It's not difficult to see people that after a day of too much joy, they need to take some downtime.
Yeah.
Because it's still high level energy.
Yep.
Like it takes a toll of your system.
Yeah.
And so we do need to take care of our bodies that it can handle that level of energy without getting depleted.
Yeah. I have this like theory, which it's kind of based on spoon theory, where we have this capacity in our like built in our nervous systems in this moment. Like there's, like you said, there's only so much joy we can handle before we need downtime, but also there's so much joy or pleasure we can handle before we might self-sabotage ourselves because of the responsibility, because of what it's going to be required to like hold that. And sometimes it's like worthiness or other wounds come up, but then, and we also at the same time have a certain capacity for discomfort, right? There's only so much that we can get outside of our comfort zone, outside of the uncertainty. And so I believe that if we can stretch ourselves both in discomfort, we're going to be able to stretch ourselves more into pleasure, into joy. And that will also really help us create that courage and bravery to listen to our hearts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has to be kind of calibrated, as you said, because we can kind of break our circuits if we go too far away. And it's something that I see more and more happening in people's energetic bodies when it comes to spiritual growth, because so many people are doing hardcore stuff and really going for strong ceremonies and things like that might give them a really nice experience at that point. But the day later, it completely depletes their system, and it's going to be much harder to rebuild their energy system.
Yeah, and they can contract and completely recluse back in. I've seen that before too. I also have this theory that a lot of people are so focused on getting more certifications and more doing a lot of plant medicine ceremonies or hardcore ceremonies, where it's like they get this like dopamine of like, I have all the answers. And then they don't know what to do with it, the integration piece, right? And then it's just like, okay, well, I'm just going to come back into my shell because I have so much information overload, or like you said, like they've expanded so much that there's like that natural contraction, but for some people it's overstimulating in their nervous system and they don't know what to do with it. And it just unfortunately becomes an experience versus a life-changing moment.
Yeah, exactly. It is just an experience in that sense, because it's in a way it's not earned. Their system cannot hold it. So it becomes possibly interesting experience, but not something that can be taken on in our energy field. It doesn't stick.
Yeah.
And it actually creates a mess. Many cannot see that, but when I see people's energy bodies, that's the sad part, because I mean, for me, my path has always been about direct connection, direct self-sustained connection. So sometimes what we do for a quick fix has a price. Everything has a price. Mm-hmm. So if we got a lot of downloads and saw a lot of stuff, okay, but that has a price. That will take a toll. It will be harder to build the direct connection because the system got completely upside down.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe that's a topic for another time.
Well, and something I would love to share. Oh, I'd love to go into, actually, I think it makes all the sense, because really finding discernment to me is like the biggest gift that you can give yourself. And it is earned. I love what you shared there, earned, because again, I find a lot of people, and I'll be really transparent too. When I first had my spiritual awakening in 2020, I was like, give me everything. Like, give me the mushrooms, give me the shadow work, give me the mentors. Like, I was consuming so much because I was so enthralled about what I was learning. But then it was like it was vomited on my audience, because they're like, Jess, what are you're talking about? Like listening to your heart. And then you're talking about quantum manifestation. Like, what is happening? And so my audience really didn't catch, they couldn't understand fully what I was sharing. And truthfully, I didn't know what I was sharing. I was just so excited to share all the things. And so to me, that was information overload, because I was so excited. And I truly think, for a lot of people and myself included, I think I can generalize this, that it was like, oh, if I learn everything, then I'm going to be the best ever, best coach. I'm going to be getting all the clients. And I'm just, and also I was like competing with other friends that were coaches that were like farther along in their journey. And like, I need to learn what they're doing. I need to do that. Da, 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 da. So what is your perspective for people that, you know, maybe they're like, all right, I want to go all in. I want to listen to my heart. I'm done playing small. And they're just like, I want to quit my job. I want to leave my relationship. I want to go on a spiritual retreat. I want to do ayahuasca. Like, I want to learn this course, whatever, right? Where they're just like in that desire of like, almost feels like scarcity, like I need all of it. What is your thought process, or maybe advice for people that are just like absorbing so much information right now, doing course after course, getting mentor after mentor type of experience?
I mean, sometimes that can have a place in a specific part of somebody's journey, because sometimes we do need to explore until we find what we truly want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we do need to go grocery shopping and try 5 different brands and like find our favorite one. It's fine.
Yeah.
The issue is more when that becomes the pattern. We just get stuck on that, because that is also actually an escape of the ego, because we can never go deep enough in anything then. We check a lot of things, but stay in the superficial level. And the truth is, each path, each lineage, each type of work is an alchemical process in itself. And if you combine it with something else, it won't do what it's supposed to do, because you're bringing in different energy. So this is self-sabotage. So when you are just beginning, it's fine. Find your path. But if you find something you really like there and have the courage to go all in on one thing, because then the magic is going to happen, because then you have the purity of a single energy doing one alchemical process without interference.
Oof.
And that's the real deal.
I love the way that you put that. It is a form of self-sabotage. And when you share that, I'm thinking of my younger self, and I was like, yeah, I feel like I didn't feel worthy enough. I didn't feel confident enough in my skill set. So I needed to go out and do all these different things. And now that I'm going on year 4 of my spiritual and healing journey, I've really started to, like you shared, alchemize more of what was a yes and what is coming up for me that I want to delve deeper into and taking my time. And I feel for a lot of people, like, I want to just echo that is really looking at where you're investing your energy, especially when you start this journey and you're wanting to, you know, step deeper into your heart's path and desire. It's really looking at what are you investing your time into, and is it really out of a place of integrity, or like you said, escaping the ego and just not allowing it to fully absorb? Because I fully hear what you're saying, and I understand that, and I agree with you that it can't really be absorbed if you're going from one thing to one thing. In the beginning, sure, go grocery shopping and try different brands and all of that. But once you find something that really speaks to you and really taking the time to like listen to your heart, because if you don't, then and you're just like, well, that person just did all these courses and work with this mentor and look where they're at, look at the amount of money they're making. Oh, I need to go do that too. You're really dismissing your specific path. And I believe that's also where people get really caught up in like an identity crisis, because like, who am I? What's my voice? Like, how do I discern, you know, if you have a business, like, what am I known for? Because you're so caught up in what everybody else is doing that you're not really focusing on your heart's path. So coming right back to reconnection. And so how do you find more discernment as you're moving along your healing journey to really find the person or the thing for you to stick with?
Yeah, in this path, when we're trying different things and we can get alert by comparison with money, as you said, and we can have so much fun as well, right? Trying different things, going to different events can also be fun. But at the end of the day, the spiritual path and healing, it is a path of dissolving the ego. And we need to have discernment of how the ego is attacking us, because having too much fun can be ego. I'm not against fun. Laughter is great. But one of the disguises is that, like, this is innocent. I'm just going to go try that thing. It's so much fun. That's your ego taking you out of focus, giving you a shiny object. It does it all the time. It's one of the favorite ways of the ego. Just give me something fun. And money as well, instead of focusing on service. We don't get to serve everybody. We don't need to serve everybody. We don't need to have 10,000 modalities. We need to know what we came here for and do it pretty well and trust that our service will be rewarded. Not, there is no God before God, and you are God. So don't put money in a pedestal, because then you have reduced your godhood. So for me, spiritual growth is all about that. I need to be able to see my ego and really catch it, discerning the ego. And remember all the time that I am God and not put anything before my godhood.
Oof, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned the surprising reasons why we don't live in joy. I want to pivot a little bit. And so we've been talking a lot about living through our heart and listening to that inner whisper and creating courage and finding discernment with our ego. But what are some of the things that we can find joy in when you mention the surprising reasons why we don't live in joy?
For me, the top one is that we confuse joy and fear. And it sounds crazy when I say that, but it is true. We are actually doing a lot of things, escaping discomfort, thinking that we are pursuing joy. Oof. So a simple example, let's say you've been thinking about pizza the whole day. You've been working and just thinking, like, craving pizza, you know, your body's really asking for it. And then you're done with work and you go and you call pizza delivery and you get your pizza. And the first bite is amazing. It's like you're just smelling it and you finally got what you've been longing for the whole day. But then from the second bite onwards, you're like on your phone, watching something on Netflix, like you're not even tasting the pizza anymore. Man, you've been longing for this the whole day. You thought you really, really wanted it. And then you got it. And after one bite, you couldn't care less. Like, we all do it.
Yeah.
But why is that? Did you really want the pizza? Or wanting something that you couldn't have made you incredibly discomfortable? So discomfortable that you reacted to it as fast as you could to stop the discomfort. We do this all the time. We're not pursuing joy. We are constantly desiring unnecessary things and going after them just to not feel uncomfortable of not having them. So understanding what we truly want and what we're really going for in our decisions, stop reacting to discomfort, is the major thing that is going to take us to joy.
Again,
it's always such, Nikki.
it's such a truth, because when we really look at the pattern of our decisions and why we do what we do, a lot of it can be that dopamine fix and getting out of that discomfort. So when that does happen and we're starting to create more awareness on it, what are some of the tips that people can use to discern, is it joy or is it dopamine? And is it just getting out of discomfort? Because I just can't bear to feel it.
It is back to what we were talking in the beginning of not acting and feeling. We have to stop acting so fast, take a step back and stay in the emptiness of not doing anything and just staying with it. And then we can see the level of discomfort. I mean, we need to feel the discomfort and let it run through us. Let it like transmute and just like pass, go, you know.
And so, Aline,
it's create this emptiness that is important, this gap. Yeah. This gap yes. between wanting and doing.
The void. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds easier said than done, of course. I want to know, because I'm thinking about the people that are listening that are like, okay, tell me more. What is the thought process behind that? What can that do for me? And number two, I want to start being in my void. How do I start being okay with being in the void or being in that gap?
So I often tell my clients to cultivate void throughout the day, regardless of discomfort, because these moments of stillness, they give us immense increase in our willingness and our intentionality. Mm-hmm. So one thing I suggest people to do is, let's say you have 3 meetings this afternoon. Can you take 5 minutes between the meetings, not go from one thing to the other? And in those 5 minutes, ask yourself, what is this new next appointment for? Why am I doing this? What is the point of me even going to this? What is the intention that I have with this? That is a gap. It's creating self-awareness in a moment that you're not running and pushing. And I mean here really connecting to your real intention, not like just a business checklist, you know?
Yeah.
And then keep that in mind. See if you can go back to that in the middle of the meeting and in the end of the meeting. Because many times we set intention, but then we leave it behind. We forget about it. We get caught up.
Yeah.
So training in this very simple way, like you're going for lunch. What is the intention of your lunch? And as you eat, maybe one bite, you can go back to that intention. And in the end of your lunch, you can just ask yourself, did I do my intention? Did I fulfill it? Or did I get caught up? It's creating reflection breaks. This allows you to be more present, more aware, and more connected to your reasons. And this has ripple effects in everything you do. So it's removing the autopilot and also making you more productive if you think about it.
Yeah, because you're being more intentional with what you're doing versus just aimlessly doing something. I love that. And so I was going to ask, how do we get into it? But I feel like you just made it so, so streamlined of taking the time to just, like you said, 5 minutes. You know, I sometimes have my clients do like reflection meditations or visualizations and just creating a timer on their phone for like 5 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then in that moment, it's almost like, okay, I can like be here because I have a timer and I can do whatever I need to do in this moment of like still time. And so It sounds like having people just pause and be intentional with what they're doing, why they're doing, creating more reflection. Because, like you said, that's going to give them into more presence. And so it allows people to really sit into the void. And so, my curiosity is too, how do we find comfort in the void, in the discomfort of wanting something? You know, I think specifically too, for a lot of people, it's like, wanting to purchase something because they need it, quotation marks, or food or hunger, just things that are so insatiable for us that aren't really healthy. And for us consciously saying, hey, okay, I want to stop this pattern. What are some of the things people can do to be okay with that feeling of discomfort, knowing that, like you shared, it's going to trickle into every area of your life? But what is that? What could be helpful for people to be like, no, I'm going to be okay. Just breathe through it, feel it, and it's okay not to act on it.
Back to the nervous system, because the nervous system is triggering at that moment. So a few things that breathing, like triangular breathing, is great when we feel that we are about to be triggered. If we remember to do like breathe for 5 seconds, hold for five, and breathe out for five, this creates a really good effect on our system to calm it down. We have to act very fast. And then if we act very fast, this breathing is super powerful. Shaking is great as well when we feel like triggered, like just shake it out, literally. Touch is extremely soothing to the nervous system. If you start doing and you're just like, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm gonna take care of myself. I know these things can sound super weird for some people, but they really work. They
Yeah.
really soothe your nervous system. And slowly you will be able to relax more. I'm not saying the first time you do it, it would work, but it will retrain your nervous system to not freak out. And with it not freaking out, you have a much better shot at just relaxing.
And getting more comfortable and coming right back to the beginning of this podcast when we said safety. Yeah, you're creating that safety within yourself to say it's okay to be in my body. It's okay to have these hunger pains. It's okay to want something from Starbucks and not go get it, right? Literally. And so, whatever pattern that is, wanting you're desiring to shift and just really coming back to the nervous system regulation tools and soothing yourself and having those reflective feedbacks for yourself can be so monumental. And so, Aline, I want to wrap up this episode with just either we talked about so many tips, but is there any, like, out of all the things that we shared, what are one to two tips you would give somebody to start listening to their heart and get reconnected to their heart's desires?
Creating gaps for sure. There is, I mean, listening to our hearts is about being a good listener. Just like if I'm talking to you, I'm listening to you, I'm not talking at the same time. So if we're always overthinking, when we are overthinking, we're talking internally. So how can we possibly hear to our hearts when we are talking at the same time? So creating this ability to be more silent, which is one of the effects of the creating the gap. To get out of the autopilot. For me, spirituality and personal growth are so practical, and we can make it so feasible in everyday life with simple practices. Of course, at some point, we need to meditate longer hours for really hardcore stuff, but we don't need to begin at that. And we can get extremely powerful results by simple practices that simply bring us more to the present, into stillness. And so I would stick with the creating the small gaps in the day. Maybe, I mean, it doesn't even need to be to for your intention. It can literally be if you have a beautiful painting, just look at it and contemplate beauty, but create that gap.
I love that. So beautiful. And we all can take so much wisdom from this experience. And I know all of us can slow down just a little bit more. So, Aline, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I would love to hear, and I know our audience would love to know, how can we connect with you? And is there anything you're working on that we can get involved in?
Yes. So thank you so much for having me, Jessica. It was really fun talking to you today. And I'm actually working now on my new online course, which is Heart Awakening. It's all about helping people clear, heal, balance, and energize their heart so that they can live more from the heart. If you go to my website, aleenram.com, I have a mini class where I talk a little bit about how to live more in joy and why we're not living in joy, so we can go deeper into that subject. I guess I will just share with you the link and you can put it on the show notes.
Yeah, beautiful, amazing. Well, Aleen, again, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. Everyone go connect with her. All of her links will be in the show notes, and we'll see you all next week. What a powerful episode. Coming on here just to lovingly remind you that we now have a question form to fill out. So if you would like your question answered, or if you would like to hear more specific topics or hear from specific guest experts, I'm really inviting you to go to the show notes, click the link for the question form, and fill out your question. It can be completely anonymous. This just helps me craft and curate the best conversations with expert leaders and also solo episodes. So again, thank you for your participation, your interaction, and listening and supporting this podcast.